It's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Yeah. I love it.
Come on in. Hi, I'm Jacob.
I'm Casey.
Don't run away. Hey, come back here.
Come on in, guys.
Don't be put off by our optimism.
Yeah, that's right. On this show, that's what we do. Welcome to Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah, where we ride the waves of nostalgia, revisiting some of the Disney classics from our youth. And basically, the rule of this podcast is if it was on the Disney Channel, if it showed on the Disney Channel, we cover it. Or we try to.
If you thought it was on the Disney Channel.
Even if
we
you
have
thought.
Pretty loose parameters at this mm-hmm. point, guys.
Well, no. If it was on the Disney Channel, I think we've held true to that.
Heck,
Baby's
yeah.
Day Out is the only question mark, I think.
It counts.
That's the one where I'm like, was it the Disney Channel or was it Nickelodeon?
Or ABC Family.
Or Cartoon Network, hell.
Yeah.
Because Cartoon Network started to do that too. But yeah, welcome in.
Welcome.
And you guys voted. We listened.
We did.
And we watched.
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland. Do you remember that guy? Do you remember those segments? Tomorrow?
Yes. And in fact, to this day, when I go to spell tomorrow, I say tomorrow.
Yeah.
Disneyland, guys. Go there. Well, you can't.
Well, you can't. Don't go there. Don't, because
someday.
They will arrest you.
Right.
And beat you mercilessly because
that
it's
is
Disney.
What happens.
And, you know.
You'll learn your lesson.
Mickey does it himself, actually. He likes to personally be there when.
Yep, that's true.
When the scum shows up, it's, he likes to say. But yeah, so Tomorrowland, it was between this or Bicentennial Man, and you know what? You might have made the right choice.
I think you did.
It's a little more optimistic. I think they both have an optimism slant to them, but this one's a little nicer.
Yeah, this one does leave you kind of feeling like there's hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Bicentennial Man, like, I don't remember the last time I watched. It's been a while.
It's been a long time for me.
And now, and since you guys didn't vote for it, I don't think I will. Like,
yeah, I think I'm going to pass.
I'll wait, because it's going to be a harder watch. And
yeah.
That might have been what deterred you, honestly, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, same here. I have been going through this phase, too, where I just want to be reminded of Disneyland desperately right now.
Oh, yeah?
And so, you know, even though this isn't about the Tomorrowland that you see in Disneyland, it still gives you the same vibes and thought, you know, I thought of it a lot while
well,
I
you kind of see a peak of Tomorrowland.
You do, yeah, for sure.
From Disneyland specifically.
For sure.
Yeah. Or Disneyland, parts of it. Small world. It's a small world. Yeah, it's going to be stuck in your mind now.
Oh, God.
Brad Bird, you can be so cruel.
That's right. But there was good reason for this.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now.
What's up?
The idea for Tomorrowland is... Oh. Mm? Yep, I'm going to do it. So Frank visits the 1964 to 1965 New York's World Fair, which is the same one that Walt Disney introduced the Carousel of Progress, and the ride It's a Small World.
Yeah.
So that
definitely.
Was
That's where
like
they were
a
featured.
Real thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And... So I love that they included that little blip in there. It's so cute.
It's great.
I love the Carousel of Progress, too.
Yes, it's great.
Oh
no, yeah,
gosh.
I liked that section. They got rid of it, apparently, right? I think they got rid of it.
Well, you know, I haven't been to Disneyland in a while. But last time I was there, it was still there, I believe.
It's gone. Oh. They got rid of it.
Maybe I'm thinking of Disney World, though.
Say bye-bye.
Because I went to Disneyland 8 years ago.
May sound crazy, but it ain't no.
Bye, bye, bye. Anyways, but yeah, I always really liked that. I thought it was so fun.
And yeah, me too. And because Tomorrowland, I kind of like that land. Like, okay, so of the lands, like, what is your favorite?
My favorite is New Orleans Square.
Nice. Oh, okay, so you kind of broke it down.
I break it down, yeah. Because I love, I
the
have
atmosphere.
Never been there. in real life to New Orleans, but it's a goal of mine. I've got to get over there at some point. But I like love soul food, and I really like the music that they play, and I love pirates, and all of that stuff is just right in that corner, you know? But, you know, I don't know. I also like Adventureland a lot.
Yeah, Adventureland's great.
What about you?
Yeah, probably Tomorrowland, maybe.
No, Tomorrowland is so good, too. Yeah, maybe. It's probably my third.
Adventureland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Our mom loved Fantasyland.
Yes, of course. That would be hers, for sure, for sure.
That has the most rides for her, too.
Maybe Tomorrowland, just because there's some nice rides. I like the atmosphere. It's interesting, because it... So, Tomorrowland... has had interesting developments, especially in Disneyland, because Tomorrowland, like, it came out, so when did Disneyland come out? Like, the 50s or 60s? And so then they were really into the idea of what's the future going to look like? Oh, it's probably going to look like this. And they had very broad, interesting ideas of what the future was going to look like. Some of it came to fruition. A lot of it didn't, though, especially stylistically speaking. So... Tomorrowland, like, what do you do with Tomorrowland when tomorrow arrives? Like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? So they started leaning into this idea of it's like, well, it's going to be tomorrow of then and now.
Yes, and I love that so much.
So that's why it's kind of got that 60s vibe.
It's got
still
a retro feel for sure.
And this movie kind of carried that on too. You could I felt like they were definitely, the styles were being modern takes on 60s era ideas of tomorrow. It's an interesting idea.
Concept, for sure. Yeah, I love Tomorrowland, too. That's where, you know, the Star Wars ride is.
Yeah, right.
The first of many, apparently, because I haven't been since they added the Star Wars land.
And I liked that Buzz Lightyear ride that they had.
They still have that, and it's so fun. Mm-hmm. We loved that ride.
Very fun. And it's interactive, too. See, that's fun. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we really did like to go to the... whatever they
pizza
call it.
Port.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. Oh my god, yes. Best pizza.
The big ass meatballs. Well, they had spaghetti and meatballs that were actually really good. And of course the pizza.
Yeah. But also like the building with the moved, the Carousel of Progress building. Yeah. What was it called though? I don't even know.
The Carousel of Progress.
That is, it's still there. It's still there.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not though.
No, you're it's lying. Gone. No.
And then you had the cars.
We
the
also went in there. We loved Autopia.
Yeah.
We loved
Thinking
Autopia.
On it now, though, not good for the environment.
No. And it smells like gas over there.
Uh-huh.
But the Poor Carousel of Progress, members. Like, we liked to go in there because they also had, like, a bunch of...
Air conditioned.
It was air conditioned. They had a bunch of video
games
that weren't
video
out
games.
Yet.
Yeah.
And that was so cool.
Yep. And a bunch of shit that would come, like... Oh, God. And again, some stuff that didn't really come to fruition, but they were like touchscreens with fish that you could feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I did remember like that happened.
That
like,
was
those
so
were
fun.
Available, but you know, people would rather have fish.
Real fish.
I played Kingdom Hearts for the first time there.
Yeah. Yep. They had really awesome Dance Dance Revolution with the different foot pads. Me and my niece did that, and like we had a crowd of people watching us because we got pretty into it.
That's awesome.
It was so fun.
And they had you could build your own roller coaster.
Yeah, that was
fun.
And ride it.
Yep, and ride it.
Oh my
it.
God, it was so fun.
Very
See,
cool.
Like why would they get rid of it? It's a great place to go.
No, I'm there's
mad.
A great
I'm
big
mad.
Beautiful tomorrow.
They better have put something good in there.
They didn't. No, I think they made another land, right?
For Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, fuck.
But that's in California Adventure?
No, it's in Disneyland. It's behind Frontierland, though. Remember
so
where we used to go? I guess you're right. Remember when
God,
we used to
you
go
You know what
and
sucks
see...
is I think when we do eventually go to Disneyland, we're not going to know.
Where anything is?
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Because there used to be a time, though, folks, where, throw us in there and it's like, oh, we know. Oh.
Yeah, we did not need.
No, man.
Our parents could send, like, they could be like, oh, yeah, go to the bathroom and then meet us over at this place. And they would just trust us because back then you didn't have cell phones.
Right.
To just know where we were going. And we did.
Yes.
Yeah. True. No, for sure. It is going to feel like a different place.
It's a great, big, beautiful
tomorrow. I think that the one in Florida, at Disney World, does still have the Carousel of Progress, though.
Maybe.
I did go there more recently. Stop. Jake was killing me. They are getting rid of or updating the Ellen ride, which makes me kind of sad that I didn't get to ride it again, because that was a fucking gem.
The submarine ride, that kind of fell through, right?
It's back. It has Nemo on it now.
Right. People still hate it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
It's weird because...
Cramped, like, and you're sort of under the water. You're
watching a screen.
But you're watching a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I did think it was cool, but I was a little claustrophobic the whole time.
Right.
I don't really like to be in confined spaces. I would never want to go on a real life submarine. Ever.
Yeah.
Oh my god. This is a story about the future.
Dude, okay, so Tomorrowland.
Yeah, Tomorrowland.
Directed by Brad Bird, who was mostly known for animation. He directed The Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, one of my favorites. You know, he directed The Incredibles 1 and 2.
Oh my god. And you know,
Ratatouille.
I feel like Incredibles 2 and this movie, like, sort of have, like, a couple of similar themes, you know?
I think all of his movies kind of have a similar thing going on.
With the optimism.
Optimism and so exceptionalism, too, is kind of a thing with him. It's interesting because there's some people who think of Brad Bird as a Randian, which, you know what?
I don't know what that is.
You heard of Ayn Rand?
Mm-mm.
No, the philosopher who believes in what's it called?
I feel like I should know about this.
Objectivism. Basically, watering it down, like, the concept is, like, everybody has their own personal, like, world going on, their own personal stuff.
That's true.
And that's the only way to view reality is through your perspective.
Oh.
Yeah, right. So it's like, it, like, worry about yourself, whatever makes you happy. And if anybody, like,
it's true
anybody
to an extent, but if we all live,
anybody
like that,
that gets in the way of that is, yeah, inhibiting you. So that's the, see, it's very, see, Rand is very, it's, it appeals to white people, like white supremacist people. You could see why, like, you know, I think it's, yeah, it's not a good,
yeah,
philosophy, because you take that to the extreme, it's like, no, that's, you're not going to be accepting of people. No. And that's why we're in trouble, people. Like,
yeah, I don't think that like really works with life, because you need to try to care about those around you to make the world a better place. Like, you shouldn't take that all on your shoulders, but, and you should put yourself first in certain instances. You know, if you have, like, one person that's bleeding toxicity into your life constantly, you need to put yourself first and remove them from the situation by killing them. No, I'm just kidding. But definitely, your point of view isn't the only point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
There's, like, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to try to see things from other people's perspectives. And I really like TV shows that, and movies that make me examine that, too, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
So she's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
wrong. But it seems like I feel like a lot of people like it, like dig it, or feel like it's like, no, that resonates with me, because it feels like a very modern point of view. That seems to be what the male, like, point of view, white male dominant society point of view tends to be, where it's just like, no, yeah, no, we're exceptional. Like, we're the, yeah.
Nah.
So I can see why people might think that for some of his stuff, because some of his stuff takes that tone, but at the end of the day, no, I feel like the dude is too optimistic to be that. I've heard cases where he's a little difficult to work with, but only because he's really trying to push for that, like, perfection, if you will.
Yeah.
And he tends to get it. You know, he tends to get that.
I will
so,
say, like,
you know,
in a work environment, I am sort of the same way. I might not expect that from everyone around me, but I'm certainly striving for that myself.
Yeah.
And if I'm training people, I'm going to train them until I think that they're going to hit that as well. I'm not going to lay that on them later when I'm not training them. But if I'm training them and they do a little error, I'm going to make sure that they know, you know, how to fix it and make it better.
Yeah.
So I get it. I might be hard to work with too.
Right. So, but Brad Bird overall, like, I think he's right on. Like, I agree. I think he's right on with his messages. Like, this has a great message.
Yeah, we saw Incredibles 2. We saw, well, I think we saw both of them in the theaters.
Yeah.
But the second one we saw together, me and Jacob and Guess, and like, we were blown away at how good it was.
Yeah, it's really
especially good. After having to wait for so long.
Yeah. Oh, right. And they even had a weird bit where they... It's really weird when actors do that shit, though. It's
yeah.
Like, hey, sorry. Hey, before the movie starts, sorry, it took so long. It's like, yeah, fuck off. Like, you know, just show me the fucking movie. Like,
just let me enjoy it.
No. But Brad really, Bird, yeah. So yeah, with that in mind, like, I feel like this is a very unapologetically optimistic movie.
Agreed. And they definitely...
And that's probably why it didn't resonate with people. This came out in, what, 2013?
No.
Tomorrowland?
Tomorrow. I love you. Tomorrow.
2015.
So this came out
not
in a really...
that old.
And it came out in a really weird time. Because this is
really
like
well.
Right before Trump became president.
He
became president in 2016. So I feel like the political climate was also
I
maybe
wonder
a
if
little
it would
bit...
have been more successful.
When Trump was president?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because we could
maybe.
Use some of that?
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, the political climate too was maybe a little off with when they released. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But
it's got George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney. We were discussing before this. Yeah, ER. We were discussing this beforehand, trying to figure out who maybe could have done a little better. Not that we are hating on George Clooney or anything.
No, but he definitely...
We like him, but yeah. We think that... See, I saw this in the theater, Tomorrowland.
Just seems a little off.
And I don't remember why I didn't like it, but I didn't love it. I didn't hate it by any means, but when we... found out we were going to watch this, I wasn't super excited because
yeah,
I remember
right.
not liking it.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is George Clooney's performance isn't super.
It's just a little stilted. It sucks because George Clooney is
a
good actor.
He's a fantastic actor. Yeah, he is awesome.
I think he was nominated for an Oscar for The Descent. I think he's been nominated for an Oscar multiple times.
Maybe. Yeah, he's awesome. He's normally really great. This just felt... I also do think there was a little bit of
maybe
a weird...
he's not a Disney actor. That could also be.
That's you're not wrong. Yeah. I think the pacing of the movie is a little bit weird too, which, you know, they had to cut like 45 minutes off of this.
And that's
so.
Insane. Like, see, that's the Brad Bird part where it's just like, okay, calm down.
Wow. But I cannot imagine having 45 more minutes of this movie either.
But you almost wonder, would it have made it
what,
made more sense?
What would have, yeah, what would have changed? I know we would have gotten more background on her mother. And I think that actually might have, like, been good. Because we only hear her mother's voice once. And then, like, she's never really brought up again. It's kind of weird.
Tim McGraw is her dad. What the fuck? I didn't even realize that. That's how far removed I am from that world. Thank God. But
so
finding
that
out pissed me off.
That is another thing I think they could have...
recast.
Yeah. So what there's a couple of things with this movie. Like, George Clooney, awesome actor. Maybe he should have been her dad.
Maybe.
He should have been her dad. Smart I was part. Telling Jacob, I think Benedict Cumberbatch would have been the perfect George Clooney character for this. Because he's very
great.
Grumpy and he's kind of eccentric and you get the scientist vibe. From him.
That would have been our introduction to his American accent.
Oh, yeah. He does fine.
He does do fine, but it just throws me off. I'm
it's
like,
jarring.
It was part of the reason why I avoided Doctor Strange for so long. I was like, no, I don't want to fucking hear him with an American accent. And there really is no reason why Doctor Strange couldn't have had a British accent.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's fine.
But it's fine.
He likes the challenge.
Tim McGraw's character, I don't think he should have been in it at
it's
all.
Like, that's why Matthew McConaughey got the part in, what's it called? Crap, what is it called?
I don't
the
know.
Space
which one?
Movie.
Oh, fucking, ugh. I hate this movie.
What's it called? Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Yep.
I'm going to get a hate for hating it, but I do hate it.
No, it's okay. I think there was a period where people were like, no, it's great. But I think we can accept now that it's, no, it's not.
It's past.
Because Christopher Nolan's made enough better movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know who auditioned for Casey? Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. No shit. She would have done good.
I think this girl does
she wouldn't have done good as good with the comedy, I think. Brie Larson's great. But
she is great.
This girl is great with the comedy, though. Awesome. She's hilarious.
She's so awesome.
One of my favorite parts is when she first breaks into Frank's place and
is she's so great.
He's like, I swear, if you touch anything, I'll kill you. And he's like, what are you doing in there? And it cuts to her inside, and she's like, I'm touching things.
She's so good.
That's good stuff.
She's really good.
Who is this girl? Did she go on to do much more? Like, she's still active, right? She's still
doing stuff. But like, nothing super big that I know of, you know?
She's not the Divergent girl.
No. No, but Shailene Woodley also auditioned for this role. Yeah.
Of course.
I like her. I like Shailene Woodley, actually. Yeah. She's great. Good
stuff. So this opens up with that World's Fair scene. We get...
I love that so much.
It opens up with George Clooney giving us narration, but then they gotta bring us up to speed.
This made me so much want to, delve into the past and look up these world fairs and try to see what came out of them and what they were like, because this feels really nostalgic, even though I was not alive during this time period. And really interesting, and to think of all of the different things that came out of these, it's a small world. Disney itself, you know, Disneyland basically,
right? Yeah, precisely. Precisely. And this kid actor, I will say, umbrella statement about this movie is the kid actors are top notch.
Do you know who this kid actor is?
No.
He
Whom is he? Is he from Stranger Things?
No.
Okay.
He is the kid that played the kid in The Switch with Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston. Do you remember this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the little boy.
Oh.
He was so good in
that movie.
He's a
great actor, yeah.
And when I was watching this, I had just watched The Switch. And I was like, oh my God, is that the same child? So much older now. But
Great kid actor. And he's going to the World's Fair. He's got some big bulky thing in his backpack or his pack or whatever. He throws it on the desk in front of Hugh Laurie of Dr. House fame, one of my favorite actors. Another Brit.
He's awesome.
He's great. And he's not really impressed with this kid. And this kid shows off, though. It's a jetpack, okay?
So cute.
But he made it out of a vacuum or something.
Yeah.
So, pretty smart dude. And Hugh Laurie, you know, it seems a little tempted to... It's like, okay, but does it work?
Right.
And it does not.
No, it basically just propels him forward.
Right.
Instead of up. He needs the part that makes him go up.
Yeah. And so Hugh Laurie's like, well, back to the drawing board. Sorry, kid, take a hike. And there's this little girl who's intrigued by this little kid, named Athena.
Athena. I love that name.
Yeah. And this kid, before 11 came along, this kid,
she's awesome.
She was really good. Has to pull a lot of weight because she has to pull off some pretty heavy lifting actor-wise.
Yeah, she does, for sure.
But we get glimpses of the fact that... So this kid is an optimist. The message of optimism runs throughout.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, it's so easy to get bogged down in the details and the idea. It's like, oh, the world sucks. It's like, yeah, great, but what are we doing to change it?
Right.
We forget that part. Forget that part a lot.
I am definitely an optimist at heart. I will always try to find the bright side. It's almost like a desperate thing that I do sometimes, too, when I get into, a really dark headspace. I'm just, desperately grasping at straws for the bright sides of things, almost to the point of it being a fault. But it is... I resonate with that a lot because I definitely do the same thing. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
I do.
You do. I bet you do too. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
So this but oh, and Athena like says, hey, follow us, but you know,
she's real don't cryptic make it about it. Yeah, she like hands him a pin, right?
Yes, the pin. Mm-hmm. The pin.
The pin.
The pin. Mm-hmm. The same pin that right. they offer at Tomorrowland.
Right.
If you go.
Yes, and
in the future.
Part of the reason that they included the pin was because they wanted to give a nod to all the pin collectors that go to Disneyland.
Ah, very nice.
Very cute.
Which, yeah, that's still a thing.
It is still a thing. We didn't really get into it at all.
No. Wanted to, but we no, did those want things to, are expensive. But
they're very expensive. I never understood the concept of it. Like, do you buy them and then you go up to strangers and you say, right. do you want to trade pins?
Yeah, trade
and
how this. Do you know? And sometimes you do, like, oh, I'll
how do you trade know you the value?
These three for this one. Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll take that. It's like, wait, no, you were too excited about that. I'll give you two.
Right. So it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. And
weird world. Yeah. Different world. Different world.
I loved to go into the stores and look at them, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they were fun. But see, even then it's like, well, why would I, they're all available.
Why some, am I trading I guess with they people? Go away. They do like, go away. Yeah, okay. Disney's very famous for like locking
vaulting
things up.
Yes. Shit. Your stupid vault.
How can we monopolize this situation?
Snow White, fairest one of all, back in the vault she goes. they write on It's a Small World and Brad Bird is cruel because he wants you to get this song in your head.
You know, it's so pathetic how desperate I am for like Disney. I like don't
you
even
you rewound
go.
This part didn't
no,
you
but I
over
enjoyed
and
every...
over and over.
I enjoyed every second of it and normally not my favorite ride. I like the I do like It's a Small World more than my husband.
Only because you have to, right? Like, where you're obligated to like It's a Small World. I mean, you are obligated to ride it. Otherwise, what kind of person are you?
Josh. But he once got stuck on it for, like, a couple hours.
So, yeah, no, I feel for him.
And he has never gone back on it since.
I feel for him.
Yeah, he will not. He refuses.
It's traumatizing, I bet.
Just wait till we have a child, though. He'll be going on it. But yeah, no, so he was sitting with me and I had this movie playing and he was watching with me. He was like, yeah, it's fine, you know. I remember this from the theater. And then this part comes on and he was like, I'll see you later.
And
he left.
And I love that, so he's wearing the pin in the ride and it scans it and it like opens up.
So cool.
It gives him a waterfall drop, which Disney is known for. You always gotta have that waterfall drop.
And Disney, like, yeah, they were like the first amusement park to do this kind of a thing inside a ride. Pirates was like the first one.
Ah, the waterfall drop.
Anyway. Because they wanted to the make thrill. Pirates a big ride, but they didn't have the room and that up was top out of... because of the train tracks.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So they dropped down underground.
They had to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Very, very initiative.
Mm-hmm. Innovative.
That is the word I was looking for. Thank you so
much. My God. Would you get your words right?
Never. Never.
I should have a segment said, what word did Casey actually mean?
Rude.
So, and he falls down this waterfall, and then it takes him to another...
dimension
a
basically
cubicle and like he goes into it and it says put on your headgear and he's like fuck I can't reach the headgear.
He's so little.
And it transports him and he almost like gets a concussion but he doesn't because he's great. He's
a good oh kid. My gosh, that would have been so scary.
And then yeah, he's in another dimension. So one thing that it does talk it asks a lot of you. This movie does ask a lot of you in terms of like suspension of disbelief, I suppose, but that ties into the optimism thing. It's like, hey, it does. you just gotta go with it, man. You just gotta go with it.
What
if there was a world where you just had all the great minds, all the optimistic people, like trying to build a better world, you know, because they weren't gonna be able to get it done in the real world, because hell no, people are gonna try to monopolize that and all that. See, I like that idea.
Me too.
And here's the thing, they did it really good in Black Panther.
Yeah,
where
they did.
It's essential. This is essential. Like, sorry, but for lack of better, it's white people Wakanda, basically.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just like, yeah, that's all you wanted. Like, just a place to be able to innovate and to build a better world for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Yeah, Wakanda. It's the same idea where it's just like, well, if the actual world got a hold of this, like they'd destroy it. Like
right.
they like there's no way in hell they'd let it exist. Yeah, we're trying to be communal, like
Yeah.
And he sees this world. It's amazing. It's filled with, it's got that 60s vibe, but still very modern. Like, you know, it's just a little bland. Like, that's another thing. In terms of design, it's just not, doesn't blow my hair back. It's so well done, though.
They actually filmed part of this in Spain, the Tomorrowland part, and they actually filmed it in like a very futuristic looking city in Spain, and then they know, computer generated over parts of it to make it really polished. But and see, so he does that's that kind stuff of well. Cool.
Yeah.
But the budget, man. You know, like this movie had a big budget.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, these effects still hold up very nicely.
They do, yeah, for sure.
Makes sense that it's not that old. Wow, I thought. See, I simultaneously thought it was older and newer than it is.
Yeah.
Kind of like Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
So he flies a robot gets a hold of his jetpack and like does some tinkering and now it works. Freaking out
and then bam, it's actually fixed.
Totally works.
So great.
And now
he's
flying around everywhere and shit and lands at Hugh Laurie's feet and is like, "Hey, it works now."
That was so cute. And Hugh Laurie's just like,
great. Welcome aboard. Come on this way. So shines a good deed and every so yeah, and then we cut forward basically.
Yeah. So then we kind of see that Casey loved the stars. She's an optimist.
Yeah, a little brat.
And she's a badass apparently, sneaking into a space station.
Cool character. See, I like, yeah, this is my shit. Like, I like kids being badasses and stuff.
Totally.
And she's using a drone.
Huh? Yeah.
Totally, you know, this actually predicted some things.
Yeah, for sure.
In true Tomorrowland fashion, like the use of drones to scramble the systems and like getting in there. She's trying to, I feel like, what is she trying to do? She's delaying work on this platform or something.
Yeah, and we don't really know that yet, but basically she ends up going home and
to Tim McGraw,
her dad. He works for NASA. He's an engineer, and apparently they're they did do some casting fuck ups, didn't they? Because also, like, I imagine a big part of their budget was spent on Tim McGraw and George Clooney, and those are two people I would replace.
Yeah, what the hell?
Because if you're gonna spend the big bucks to get the big actors, and then they don't perform right, I don't know. Tim McGraw is not an actor, too, by the way, guys.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Because he can be gruff, but also he's a really nice guy.
He's so nice. Yeah. And he does seem very smart.
Yeah, for sure. Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, yeah.
But not that Hulk Bruce Banner.
Right. No.
So weird.
Okay.
We'll get to that eventually.
We will someday. So they're taking the platform down because people don't get ideas anymore.
You're damn right they don't.
And that's also kind of indicative of, like, current life situations. It feels
we don't
like
have any ideas, so we'll just repackage them.
I do feel like that's resell one them. Good thing that came out of, like, COVID and quarantine is, like, I do think that some people are getting different ideas and putting them out there. Mm-hmm. You disagree?
To an extent.
To an extent.
Seems like, it still seems like the entertainment industry, though, is just going to ride this way. It's like, nope, just repackage it. Just repackage it.
Yeah.
Redo it. No, they'll eat it up. And we're playing right into it. So who do we really have to blame?
Right.
Corporations, too. But also, stop buying tickets to see the fucking whatever. What? Mission Impossible movie, honestly. Like, stop buying tickets to that shit. Don't give any money, more money to that guy.
Yes, seriously.
You know the one I'm talking about. Don't go there. You know who I'm talking about, Chris.
Tom Cruise.
Chill. Like, if we didn't have to.
I'm going to put him on blast.
Yeah.
I have weird feelings about Tom Cruise.
You should. He's a bad person, I think.
I think so, too. And people in Hollywood,
I know, they will defend him. It's ridiculous.
But I'm like, no, I think he's an asshole and he's also a cultist.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways. But
anyway.
Anyway. Oh, so her dad, Tim McGraw, is a NASA engineer. He's going to be out of a job soon.
Yeah.
And so that's, we kind that's of put the two and two this. Together. Oh, she's breaking it so that he can keep his job. But he tells her, hey, you know, they have a new person coming out in an hour and we're going to be back to work later this afternoon. So basically he's telling her it did no good.
Yeah.
Stop.
Dork. Yeah.
You know.
She's like, no.
Right.
I'm not going to stop. So I'm then an optimist.
Then she gives the wolf analogy.
Good analogy.
So good. This is a Native American phrase.
No wonder it's so profound.
It is so profound. I wish I would have written it down, but I didn't. Basically,
there are two wolves.
Yeah.
One represents light and hope. One represents darkness and whatever. And it's like, which one wins? And the answer is whatever one you feed.
And it is so...
You dumbasses. So stop feeding the wolf of despair, you bastards.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's so true, though. It is totally, totally true. You know, obviously everything can't be fixed with optimism. But if you try to come at things with a fresh mind, it does make the situation a little better usually.
Yeah, everybody loves to, like, you try to be an optimist and then everybody's like, oh, I would love that, but this is the way the world is. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, see, that's the problem. Like, this isn't the way the world is, clearly.
I remember one time somebody said, it was in my humanities class in high school, and I had a very cool teacher, Hellman.
Yeah.
And in the class, somebody said that I was looking at the world with rose-colored glasses. And he stopped everything and said that broke his heart. Because, like, everybody should be looking at the world that way. And it's not a bad thing to look at the world that way.
Yeah.
And we had, like, a whole entire discussion on, like, positivity and naivety and what it means to, like, try to look at things on the bright side. And why that's not a fault. It's actually a good thing. Yeah. It was actually a wonderful class.
Yeah, it sounds like Oregon City. You're looking at the world. Look at you, liberal, little liberal-hearted. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
How dare you?
No, but...
My laugh sucks.
They all have hick accents, even though we all live in Oregon.
Yeah.
Anyways, I really liked the wolf analogy, though. I was like, that's so true. And on my bad days, I'm guilty of feeding the dark wolf.
Mm-hmm.
We all are.
Dark wolf.
The dark wolf. That'd be a cool book name.
It probably is. So, yep, great analogy. And he says, let me eat this apple. she goes to school and we get, you know, teachers being all negative and stuff.
Yeah, we get a lot of shots of, like... The teachers famine, all talking,
floods,
yeah.
Nuclear war.
You would think that the world, and it is on the world is on fire, guys.
The world, as Bill Nye would say, the world is literally on fucking fire.
Yeah, Bill.
Bill.
Anyways, but I loved that. Like, we got snippets of each class, and all the teachers are just like, "Yep, this is the world. It's ending. It's terrible." Any questions?
Yeah. And she's like always raising her hand and she just says, like, point blank, it's like, yeah, but what are we doing to change it?
And I love that.
And they're like, I don't know. And she's like, well, fuck you. No, she doesn't say that. Casey would never say that.
No,
Casey would, but Casey wouldn't.
Yeah. This is fun. But no, totally. I imagine you don't get a lot of kids asking that question, which is sad, right?
Yeah, you should. I ask it all the time.
Yeah, what can we do to make this situation better? I'm asking you.
Go ahead.
Oh. No. Anyways.
Yeah.
So then that night, she goes back to the space station.
So yeah,
she's like, I'm going to go ahead and break it again, see if I can buy my dad 12 more hours at his job. And she gets caught.
Gets so caught. And there's a girl with a pin.
Yeah.
And she plants it.
Yeah.
And there's cops and they interrogate her and stuff. They beat her.
No, but she gets detained.
Right. Okay. Right.
And then...
It was implied.
Right.
Yeah.
And then her dad gets her out and he's pissed.
Bails her out. He's mad. And this pin, like, was in her personal effects, and she touches it and, like, teleports her somewhere. And there's this drugged out dude. I don't know what that guy's deal was.
I'm not sure, because until they, like, zoomed over he's that like, guy.
I know. And I was like, wait, does he know? Wait,
does what's he know? Like, yeah. No, I know. I was like, I thought this was, like, just, like, NASA. Like, I thought it was their own personal little detention center. But now I'm like, she must have gone to jail.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. It was weird.
And it transports her to a cornfield, and she can see the amazingness. Beautiful. And it's beautiful and stuff. But when she's weird not touching hell. It teleports her back. This is weird. Like, I don't quite get this part either, where it's like...
I will say I also have the same qualms that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I just kind of rolled with it, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's a lot more stuff that it's a little more grounded in this that, you know...
But this, yeah, because it's like she's not...
I don't know why you needed this, because then it turns out like this whole thing that she's seeing is an advertisement for something.
Right.
Which I don't... So... It seems kind of a waste of more time.
Yeah. Yeah. Again,
It's cool.
It is cool.
But yeah, because they're like rolling around in a car at some point and she touches it. So it looks like she's like flying across the field.
She makes her dad pull over. She's like, you have to touch this.
And he doesn't see it. It's kind of like the bell in Polar Express.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you have to have the right kind of mind to like... You have to be optimistic and maybe, like, pretty smart.
Eventually.
Obviously, he's very smart. He's a NASA engineer.
But nothing. She runs away. Little brother tells him to cover for her.
Yeah, she's like, tell him I'm camping.
Sure.
Okay.
And she goes to somewhere. Oh, and this little girl, I think, talks to the little brother, right?
Yeah, so then the little girl comes up the next day, and she has, like, a box of Oreos or something.
I'm a Girl Scout. No,
he's like, those aren't even Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Where's your uniform?
Are you human? And she's like, where is she? And she's at a Blast from the Past shop, which is run by none other than Keegan-Michael Key.
Hell,
and
yes.
Agatha. Catherine. She really was behind it all, everybody.
Yeah, she was.
She really was.
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn, amazing actress.
I love her so, so much.
And Keegan-Michael Key, hilarious comedian known for Key and Peele. Like, he does a lot. He had a great part in Let's Be Cops.
Let's Be...
God, does that movie... The movie does not hold up anymore,
it's
does
so
it?
It's so funny. I don't care. I don't know. I think it's hilarious.
Or maybe it does. Yeah, it does. No, I don't know. Anyway.
I thought I wrote this down, but I didn't, so now I'm wondering if I imagined it.
So they must have acquired Star Wars by this point, because they are unabashedly, like, throwing Star Wars shit around.
Yeah, so they had offered... What's the... Brad Bird. They had offered him to direct the Star Wars Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that or this, and he chose this.
And that would have been great, but honestly, this was probably better
for
him.
Yeah.
And us in the long run, I think.
Well, because Star Wars cannot be what he would try to make it be. It can't.
Yeah.
We needed some more optimism in these Star Wars movies.
Yeah, precisely.
Though.
See?
We did.
So maybe.
But I don't know.
He should have directed Last Jedi.
Yes.
Because he would have done something different. Like, he would have treated Luke Skywalker better.
Ugh.
Again, I have more appreciation for it than I originally did, but I don't think... Yeah.
It's not my favorite, that's for sure. Right. This store, I thought I wrote it
Blast
down.
From the
oh,
past.
It is. Blast from the Past is the same name as the one that Marty McFly visits in Back to the Future.
That's funny.
So I thought that was a fun little...
Hmm.
I snuck that one in my notes instead of in my trivia, so...
And it turns out that these two, like, at first you think that they are on Casey's side.
Yeah, they seem cool. They seem like they're in the know of something.
Yeah, they know about this plate, like,
and the
pin, the place you're seeing exists. Like, we can take you there. Where's the girl?
Yeah, then they
the
start...
The girl. Where's the girl?
She locks the door, and she, like, gets out a toy gun, and you're like, what in the fuck is happening now?
It's not a toy.
Not a toy.
And these blasters, like, man. See, okay, and another thing about this movie is it, he gets away with a lot. Like, there are kids being, like, hit by cars and,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
And you get away with it because they're robots, quote-unquote. Like, people's heads are being ripped off. And
right.
A lot of stuff. Like, people are being blasted into smithereens.
Right.
But this cool like fight ensues. 11 wannabe shows up, kicks some ass,
yeah,
saves Casey. Typical Casey needs saving.
Boo. No, it's awesome scene though. I thought it was really fun.
And now she's driving.
Oh, we see that they're robots, by the way.
Yes.
That's kind of important and weird.
And weird. Yeah, there's this weird unsettling robot guy who's always smiling and it's really creepy.
Oh my God. He was so good though.
Yeah.
He's a great actor because he was so creepy. And he smiled exactly like how you think a robot would be smiling.
Like a Ken doll.
A Ken doll. Yes, yeah. He was like a robot Ken.
Robo Ken.
Yeah, very creepy. I really like that guy.
And this little girl wants to help Casey get to that place that she's looking for because she thinks she's the key because she's a dreamer.
Right.
And apparently this little girl, Athena, is a recruiter for people like Casey.
Yeah, and this little girl, Athena, we had seen her... back in the 60s. And so you're kind of like, what in the hell is going on?
Turns out she's a robot, which is weird.
She's a robot.
Which is really weird, guys.
It was a weird call.
But okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And they find Frank. He's a lot older and a little more jaded.
She kind of just like drops Casey off and leaves. Yeah, that happens. Frank Walker, George Clooney, ladies and gentlemen. He won't let her in.
Yeah, he's done with this crap.
Yeah.
He's beyond it.
Tells her she needs to get off the property.
And you need to stop looking at the world through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. Why is everybody always telling Casey to do that?
And eventually, though, she breaks in, like, gets the drop on him and locks the door.
She, like, turned on a... tractor.
Yeah, her tractor and lit it on fire.
Lit it on fire. She's a little badass.
She's great.
She had been sitting out in the rain up to that point, so I bet she was desperate.
And she sticks her tongue out. Like, there's a lot of really good
really
bits
cute.
In here.
Yeah.
Again, like, these kid actors are really good.
And his house is just, like, kind of crazy.
Doomsday.
Yeah,
scenario.
It is super, like...
set up with screens and stuff. She's checking them out. It's all negative, man. It's all...
He's got those lights, you know, the lights with the
thing with the stuff.
Yes. Never mind. He's got cool lights by his timer thing. By the clock.
Incandescent lights. No, I don't know.
I don't know what they're called. Great. I wish I wouldn't have said
tube
anything.
Lights. Tube lights. Okay. So he eventually gets back in and he's like, hey, enough of your crap. This is my place.
Don't touch my shit.
Yeah, don't touch my stuff. And she's like, touching.
It's so good.
Touching. The robots show up because they followed her.
Yeah, his house is totally robot...
proof.
Yes.
And he decides to help and he like throws a switch and like it, locks the place down. But the robot, one of the robot's feet like prevents shades from going down. So they break in. And George Clooney's kicking ass, like, blasting robots away
Hell
and stuff,
yeah.
Activating magnets into the walls and pulling them in there and stuff. Some really, it's a fun sequence.
It's so fun.
Uses his bathtub to launch them out
bathtub
of there.
Bathtub rocket ship.
Yeah.
Fun.
And they're drenched. Like, we get this idea, like, she really loves that hat from her dad. Ugh. I wouldn't wear that. Gross. They try to use a motorcycle. It's not working. Athena shows up finally and is like, hey, what's up? Yeah, weird, right? George Clooney doesn't seem too put off, though.
Yeah, he's not thrilled, but he's not pissed.
He's like, all right, how are we going to get there? Well, we need to use this teleporter first to get us to... So they use this teleporter. This was great because there's a whole process. Like, first of all, like, you have to cover your eyes. So he, like, tapes stuff over her eyes and they take this weird powder or something.
Right.
And I like that there were consequences to the technology where
it
like,
makes you feel sick to your stomach.
Like, we can use this, but you're going to use like all your electrolytes immediately. So, be prepared.
Right. Be ready to be thirsty and want to drink a bunch of soda or water or whatever.
Yeah. And it's Coca-Cola.
Of course, because it's Disney.
And she burps a lot and it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Realistic burps.
Also, when she was in his house by his doomsday clock, it did flicker and change.
When she started being her optimistic self.
Right. And that's kind of important to know.
And George Clooney was like, wait, what?
He was like,
That's fishy.
Maybe fishy. I should help Fisherson. Her. Maybe the world won't end.
Yet.
Yet.
So they get transported to there. They're in France.
Yeah.
And we get this cool sequence. Like, watch this movie for some of the history. Like, Jules Verne, they go to the top of the
Eiffel Tower.
Go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. There's like a wax figure thing going on. Again, this is Disneyland, the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say they definitely like took that from Disneyland.
Hall of Presidents or something.
Yes, the President's Hall.
Because Jules Verne is there with Nikola Tesla and Edison. I love how Edison gets all the affection stuff. Here's the thing, guys. Edison was a dick, though.
Right.
Like, let's not forget that. Like, Edison gets a lot of, like, credit, and which he deserves to an extent. But also, you know, if you're an asshole, like, I don't know. Yeah.
The robots in this movie are called AAs, which means audio animatronics, which are heavily used throughout Disneyland, like in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, gotcha. How fun is that? That's fun, yeah.
I love all the nods to Disneyland that they did in this. Sure. Very cute.
It turns out the Eiffel Tower is just a big antenna, I guess. And they flick a switch or whatever, and it splits open, and now there's a rocket there. Okay.
Yeah. They're going places.
And they take the rocket up, and I love it, too, because before they take off, the robots are, like, grabbing onto the hole and stuff, and Athena can speak French because she's a super smart robot. And she's like, hey, tell them to hold on. And she's like, oh, blah, blah, s'il vous plaît.
Yeah, so cute.
It's really cute. And they take off, and it's like, wait. They go into space, and then they turn back, and she's like, wait, we're going into space just to come back? And it's like, well, no, we're going through. We're going into a different dimension. It's a lot, you know, we get it. Like, you know, it's a lot to take in.
Right.
And they do. They push on through. They land once again at Hugh Laurie's feet in a very similar fashion to what Frank did. And he's like, hey, long time no see. Yeah, you got to go. You are still totally banished.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this girl can fix the problem that I started or that I identified. They're like, this girl? It's like, nah.
Yeah, and this is, his name's Nix.
Nix.
I don't know if he's, like, governor or mayor.
Governor Nix. They call him Governor Nix, yeah. And so now we start getting the impression. I didn't think Kulor was the bad guy, but now that you start getting that
impression, you sort of are like, well, why doesn't he want her to just try or look at it, but he's sort of like, nah, you're all banished, y'all need to leave right now.
Eventually, though, they do get to this weird globe thing that allows you to see any point of time.
Pretty neat. It made me a little seasick watching it.
Yep. And since they're in a different dimension, like, you know, you can access different points in time, so they
get very to see the past, the
scene
future
between him or between her dad and her. But she decides to fast forward to the future and notices that, oh, there's this period of static, and then, oh shit, world's destroyed. Destroyed everywhere. And she, I love that she's trying to search for a good point anywhere in the world. There's not.
No.
It's all dead.
So sad.
Dead. She's like, what happens? Well, whatever.
They basically say, like, just a bunch of shit happens all at once.
Yeah.
Like, and the environment,
happening in
bombing
the next couple months.
Yeah, there's just, like, everything just goes to shit.
And there's no way to prevent it.
Right. And while she's up there and she's, like, fighting with them, arguing, it flickers again.
Mm-hmm. And George Clooney's like, you saw that, right? And he's like, okay, we're done here.
Yeah, he's done.
Knocks them out. They wake up in a waiting room. They're about to send them back home and everything. And weird turn for her. This was a weird turn for her where she's like, now she's given up. Like, I thought it was weird. I don't know. It just felt, I know that we needed it, like, developmentally wise, but for her to be like, no, you were right. Like, it's all hopeless, like this and that. Okay, it loses me a little bit here. This is where it starts to lose me, where it's just like, wait, what if the projection is, like, the reason that nothing's changing or whatever? Can you help me here? Like, I don't know.
It's that whole, It's like the whole thing from Matrix, right?
Where it's like, if you know the...
If you know something's going to happen, like if you know the world is ending in 2 weeks, is it ending because you think it is going to end? Or is it, yeah, or is it ending because it's just going to end?
Right.
So that's like what they're trying to do here. Like in the Matrix, he like, she says, careful of the vase. And then he knocks down the vase. And then she's like, well, now you'll just be wondering if it's because I pointed it out or if it would have just happened. Like it's the same situation here. Mm-hmm. Which is something that, like, I'm just always like, oh, I don't like to think that way.
Well, no, because in the end, it is all your choice. So it's like, yeah, if you're, yeah.
Yeah, there, I mean, we as a community need to actively work on climate change. If we just pretend it doesn't exist or accept that it's happening, then, you know, things are just going to go to shit.
Yeah, right.
You know, it is. It is that situation for sure.
So essentially, like, they identify that I just don't get this whole projection thing. Like, I never got that. But regardless, Nyx is behind it. Like, surprise, mm-hmm. surprise.
Yes.
He's got this great villain speech, though, that points out, like, it is. It's the awesome. Matrix thing where it's just like, hey, man, we tried to, like, you know, like, notice that at every point where innovation could have happened, like, you guys chose to get bogged down in the negative side of it.
Right. You chose not to do new things. And he's not wrong.
Yeah, he's not wrong. Like, yeah, that's why, like, he's on to something.
But that doesn't mean that you should, like, push for it to happen, which is sort of what he's doing.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But they won't die because they're in a different dimension. Right. So that's why he's like, hey, no harm, no foul.
Right.
But George Clooney starts messing with his wristband thing to prevent them from getting sent back home. There's this platform that keeps getting raised. Like, oh, and by the way, they brought like a megaton neutron bomb or something with them.
Yes.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, she, Athena, kept it in her stomach.
Yes. And gives it to Casey, and she's supposed to detonate it, but she keeps getting distracted, and, like, robots start attacking and everything.
It's scary.
Eventually, though, she does detonate it. Hugh Laurie, like, gets almost blown up, but makes it across in time, and his leg is being crushed.
A nod to House, by the way.
Oh, fun.
It's the same leg that he limps in House. Yeah.
Oh my God,
I know. I knew you would love that.
And he's got a gun really close by, though. Like,
yeah.
And by the way, there's I can't get into this too much. Like, there's the concept of tachyons, which could allow you to see briefly into the future at times. So you get moments of that happening. And there's a brief moment where we see George Clooney being blown away, but that gives them enough time to be like, to prevent it. Like, Athena jumps in the way of the shot.
Oh, yeah. That whole thing was kind of weird.
Weird. Yeah.
You know, we didn't really get into it too much either, but like, part of George Clooney's issue, we don't know what led to him finding this whole entire thing out. Like, yeah, I would have really liked to know that personally. We didn't get to see that.
The details of his banishment and everything.
Right. But we did get to see, like, him being a little boy and playing with Athena and finding out she's a robot and, like, him, like, being horrified by that and having his whole world be rocked by that situation. And from then on, he sort of was, like, a negative Nancy.
Yeah.
Changed his whole entire outlook on life, you know?
Yeah, and it gets weird because... Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
Then it gets weird.
And then they make it weird.
Tuck everlasting levels of weirdness.
Except for this one is so much more visually upsetting.
Yeah, because she... Wait,
they don't kiss, though.
Thank God.
It would have been boycotted.
Okay, so,
so
you got this little girl who's amazing actress because she has
she's
to be
so
like
good.
An older woman than what she is, like, or
she's
whatever.
She's such a good little actress.
And basically, like, really addresses the idea of AI and, like, emotions and stuff.
Right.
To George Clooney, who is, like, watching, and she's malfunctioning as well. I don't know why that needed to be happening, but okay.
I don't know either.
Maybe to make it less awkward?
Yeah.
But basically saying, I mean, that they were in love, I guess, was the feeling.
Yeah, like, I think that she was, like, his first little love, you know? Right. They were really little kids, though, so, like...
It's weird.
It's still weird.
It's just really weird. It's just, it just feels awkward. It feels like that's what they're going for, or...
Yeah, because they have this whole thing, so he, like, jetpacks her up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that the bomb doesn't, right, explode. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, no, because she has to be the bomb now because they detonated the other bomb.
Yeah, that is what it was.
The outside world.
And so he's, like, jetpacking her up to ensure that, you know, nobody gets injured, I guess. And, yeah, she, like, shares with him, you know, all of that, basically.
Memory and all that stuff. And she detonates herself and he drops her. And she blows up and the big... sphere falls on Hugh Laurie, killing him. Gotta get rid of your bad guy.
You do. You got to.
So now the projection isn't gonna be negative all the time. So now people have to create their own.
Yeah. So we see basically.
Or now the projection's more positive.
Right.
Because now they're doing recruiters again.
Right. So basically, like at the beginning, we sort of heard like an overlay of Casey and George Clooney speaking. And at the end, we get to see that, like, them recording, like, a little thing to send out to, like, you know, imaginative, positive...
Dreamers.
And they send them out with the pins, basically. And, yeah. Yeah.
And, like, go forth and recruit. And then we get this cheesy, like, a little heavy-handed, like, ending where it's, like...
Yeah.
The pins are showing up, in, like, on ballerina shoes. And one that seemed out of place...
Yeah.
Was that a hunter? Like, what the fuck?
It was like, a little... No, so...
No, it's an artist, right? I think that was the thing.
Well, the guy in Africa?
Or
with the animals?
He had a gun and then a sketchbook full of, like, drawings of animals. So maybe it's an artist, but...
I think he was an artist.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, big game hunter. Yeah, we need them.
No, I think he was an artist, and maybe... I like to think the gun was to shoot poachers.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
But no, and like, yeah. And, you know, again, like, the message is great. Like, the future is you.
That.
Like, they really
I
are trying to say, it's like, hey, kids, like, fucking help us.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, and maybe don't focus on, like, you know, bashing on the generation that came before you. Like, that would be really nice. Maybe focus on your own fucking shit. Like, how about that?
Yeah, come on, kids.
God damn. Anyway,
basically by changing the mindset, they changed the world. Yeah. I love when they say we're looking for dreamers.
Yeah.
It's great. And then the last shot was awesome where they were sending the little robot children off to different parts of the world to go and find people.
Talking about,
it was very cool.
It was very cool. That's Tomorrowland.
I have,
basically, like, honestly, it requires watching. Like,
it does. There's a lot of detail to this movie.
So I would recommend it.
I have one more fun fact.
Yeah.
The idea for Tomorrowland, the land at Disney, is based on Walt Disney's original plan for a city of the future, which was originally the concept for Epcot, which stands for Experiment Prototype City of Tomorrow, which I never knew.
Yeah.
I never knew what Epcot stood for until I watched this movie.
Know.
And now I know.
And I think they really did do a good job of that Disney theme, like, Tomorrowland. One foot in the past, one foot, like...
That is what Disney is, right?
Plotting towards the future. Like, that's what...
And what the world actually does need to do. They need to look at the past to know
and
what
just not,
to avoid.
And, yeah, and just don't go right for it. I just feel like our knee-jerk reaction is always to hate the past. Like, the past is wrong. It's like, I hate the past. It's like... Yeah, but I've got some pretty fond memories in the past.
Yeah.
And you are here because of the past, so, you know, past could use a little credit. I just feel like...
It is so important to look at the past to see what you can do for the future and what you can make better. Like, it's good to see the negative stuff and to learn from it, but, like, really, you're right. Like, people wouldn't be here if it weren't for the past. Right. And also, like, look how far we've come in technology in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, you know, a very slow trickle and then fast.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how far we've come.
Totes
my goats.
And it almost feel like you could make the argument that maybe the media or entertainment is the projection, and all they're projecting is the negativity.
I love that. I love that. That's so true too, because when we were in like the science class, they were clearly playing something that, you know, is like a TV thing. Yeah, you're right. Really media.
Now, it's a tricky slip because I also think media, like, well, maybe media isn't, because media is supposed to like hold power up to accountability. And they do that to an extent these days, but...
It's really bizarre, like, in the last 8 years, 4 years, how old am I? Yeah. In the last four, like, 10 years even, how different the news stations are in the tone in which they report things.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah, it's concerning.
It's bizarre how people can tell the same story totally different ways.
Right.
So you're right, the media definitely...
In the end, like, just question things, like, you know, don't be crazy about it, question things though, you know.
Yeah,
like, look into stuff for yourself as well. Do your research.
During the election this year, I was not wanting to look at any of our locals news.
Yeah,
so I was actually going to BBC.
Yeah,
the British. I was going there.
Good call.
Yeah, to watch our coverage, to get an outside perspective. It's actually quite helpful if you guys ever feel lost in a story, to step out of our country and look at a different country's coverage of it, because they do cover our stories like we do theirs.
Yeah, right.
That might clarify some things for people who don't know what to believe.
Right.
Just throwing that out there.
Totes.
Totes.
All right, so let's rate it.
Yeah.
Out of 10
jetpacks.
10 jetpacks. What do you give Tomorrowland? I got mine.
I know. I'm stuck between two numbers.
I know.
Because it's like, do I go high? Do I go low?
I got mine.
I got mine.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 7. Yeah.
I almost gave it an
Nailed
8.
It. I know, me too, of course. Yeah.
But I just was like, you know, if Benedict Cumberbatch was in this.
It is like, it's those things. It's honestly
the pacing is a little weird.
Pacing, it's just a little long.
Yeah, and to think that they turned 45 minutes off of it.
Yeah.
There's things that I could have gone without seeing.
Right.
And there's things I really wanted to see. Like, I wanted to see George Clooney's character, like, mess up so that we could see what happened there.
Because
I actually feel like it was an important part of the story that we missed. I don't think that was in the 40 minutes that they cut, though.
No,
it could have been. But so, like, just a couple little things and it would have gotten an 8 or a 9 from me for sure. I love the message. I think it was really fun. I think that they did a really good job filming it. It was really pretty.
Yeah, I won't knock it, like, because it used to, it's just, it's the one that you forgot about. It's like Tomorrowland, like, what the fuck was it? Like, and it does seem like up against the other movies that were going on at the time.
It was a,
like,
really, you know, big time in movies. Yeah. There was a lot happening.
But I would recommend it. It's not on Disney Plus, though. I thought it was on Disney Plus. It's not.
It's not, guys. It will be.
Sooner than that. September?
September.
Something.
September 2021,
yeah. So, but it is available on Amazon and other streaming services.
Yeah.
Recommendations. What do you got?
I'm going to recommend a book. I have been reading so much lately.
A book.
I start school again in 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
So I've been like, oh, what can I do in the next 2 weeks? So, like, I've been, like, doing all the house stuff I've been putting off.
Yeah.
I've been reading every fucking night and losing sleep over it, but enjoying it. Mm. I started video gaming again. Like, I'm just, like, cramming in all the fun shit I can before I'm back in hell. So the book I'm going to recommend is called I Want to Be Where the Normal People Are. It's written by Rachel Bloom, who was the writer and star of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is one of my favorite TV shows.
Oh, shit.
It's a really funny and real book about, like, it's a bunch of different poems and journal entries of her life that she combines to tell this really interesting story, basically. about, you know, what is normal, mental health, you know, like her middle school experiences that she's been talking about, I can totally relate to. It's just nice to hear, like, when you're not the only one, you think you're the only one going through some of these experiences. Mm-hmm. Really funny. Laugh out loud funny. Laugh out loud. Well, I love it.
Lmao.
Lmao.
All right. I'm recommending a group on Facebook in particular.
Yeah.
80s/90s/early 2000s Nostalgia Haven. If you're on the Facebook, get this group because, yeah, it's full of, chock full of, like, yeah, nostalgia-inducing facts and, like, I don't know, posts from TV shows and movies and books and different pop culture stuff from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So if you're a millennial, it's like right up your alley. Like I'm seeing stuff about vignettic ice cream cakes, Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland and Dunkaroos. Like it reminds me of a lot of stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's
especially
awesome.
For you nostalgia lovers. All right. So next week, what we're going to have you vote on is two Casey movies.
Yes. I'm very excited about this.
Which ones?
So we're bringing back Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be the Lizzie McGuire movie where
which
she...
Which is about?
It's about Lizzie McGuire
which was a TV show on Disney Channel.
On Disney Channel, yes.
Starring
Hillary Duff. Ugh, I'm still so sad they're not bringing it back right now. She's pregnant again. Yay. She's having a little baby soon. Okay. Anyways, so she... So her and her class are going on like a little graduation field trip before high school, I think.
Okay.
They're so much younger than I thought.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hmm. So I think, I'm pretty sure. Either that, I'm pretty sure. Hmm. But anyway, so they all go to Italy, which is so fantastic.
Roma.
Yes. And we get to see Hilary Duff also play a pop singer with a terrible Italian accent.
Yeah.
And we get awesome songs like This Is Where Dreams Are Made Of.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's fun.
And I've been to Italy and I haven't seen this movie since I got back from Italy. So I'm kind of excited to see that if it gets picked. The other movie that we're going to choose from is Ella Enchanted, which stars Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
She's
princess.
So rad. Yeah. She's so
playing
great.
A princess again.
She is. I don't even remember the name
it's
of it.
Based
princess.
On a book?
It is based on a book.
Which became a series of books, actually.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't read the book, but the movie's really fun. It also includes music. It's basically this girl has like a curse on her where she has to do what she's told.
Mm.
Ooh. Yeah, it gets feminist. Shit hits the fan and gets real intense. It's pretty feminist. It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
I really like the. I'm a sucker for anything that's got like a village of people and so it's
like
sort of
the village people.
No,
oh,
but you know, I like Renaissance-esque time.
Right.
I think this is like not quite there, but close enough. Nice. But anyways, both are really, really fun, and both are musical,
both
and both
have
star
spunky leading.
Yeah,
ladies.
Both
yeah.
star really awesome feminist women. So good luck
Hillary
choosing
Duff,
you guys.
Feminist?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's fucking awesome.
All right. So be it. She is. She's feminist.
She's great. She has her. She came out with a whole entire thing of menstrual.
She loves Nutella.
Does she?
Yeah.
She came out with like her own organic menstrual pads and tampon line. Okay. She also That's came nice. And they're biodegradable. She's really environmental
Fuck
conscious.
Yeah.
She her. Also came out with diapers that are recycled Aww. And also
Cute.
Compostable, which
Cute.
Is very cool.
Good.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
All right, everybody. Be sure to vote.
Yeah.
You can do that by sending us an email.
At DisneyChannelServers@gmail.com.
We've got an Instagram where you can vote easily. The Instagram
Just a
is
click.
At Disney Channel Servers.
And then I post it on my Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're also welcome to send either of us a message if you don't know how the voting thing works or you just missed it maybe. Yeah.
We
so
do.
Excited.
We usually post it on Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
You have through Monday to vote. And we post the winner on Tuesday or something.
Hell like yeah. So excited.
Keep an eye out.
I'm a winner no matter what this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be fun. All right, everybody. Take care. Stay safe. And yeah, we will see you real soon.
Bye.
Thank you.